what is it like individually and what is it like as a community to go through a grieving process when you experience loss? And so the very fact that the day of the eclipse, you know, where we lost our beloved Walter and beloved Riley in the same day within hours of one another. And, you know, how do we continue to move forward looking at the rhythm of what is the Lord doing in our lives, and how do we continue to put that in the context of continuing to pray for revival or pray for renewal or to continue to pray for healing and all of that that takes place in the midst of that and allowing that stuff to continue to surface. And so I know that I was so encouraged by the things that were spoken of by some of you. And I don't necessarily need for you to repeat that, but for those of you who weren't here, I don't know that it was recorded, because a lot of that just came from what just happened right here. But it was very encouraging. What DJ shared and what Teresa shared, what Sarah shared, and just others, just that whole thing of just, you know, how do we feel about this? How are we processing all of this? And that whole sense of refreshing and encouragement and what it is that we continue to need and to walk in and to walk out of and to recognize where the Lord is touching our hearts and how to process all of that. So, again, as I said, to kind of try to segue into what I believe the Lord wants us or wants me to share with you. In John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Jesus was directing that to an audience that was antagonistic towards what he was doing. And what he was saying to them is, you know the scriptures. You're familiar with the scriptures. And in this particular audience that he was addressing, he was saying, I realize to a certain extent you know them inside and out. Because some of you even wear these phylacteries on your around your face. And some of you even have tassels around your waist that is continually a reminder of how familiar you are with the scriptures. You know them inside and out. And Jesus says, and they testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. And so in light of that word that Father Don had for me that seemed to be what he wanted to impart to us is a recognition that the Lord's word is what draws us into that sense of intimacy with him. That's always what his word is striving to do, is draw us into a greater awareness to begin to remove, as it were, the scales or the veil or whatever, that we can begin to see what it is that he wants us to see. And so, you know, for all of us to be at times familiar with the scriptures, but to be able to say that the Lord is saying, they testify of me. And obviously all of you are willing to come to him because you wouldn't be here if that was not the case. But that continued desire to draw close to him so he can say, these testify of me. And if one of the things that the Lord wanted us to hear today was the word that he gave to him to share with all of you, that the Lord wants this to be a season of refreshing for everybody. What if that's true? What if that's the word that the Lord wanted all of us to hear, that this is a time of refreshing that he wants us to call us into? and you take a step back and say, wow, okay. Does anybody feel that they need to have any kind of refreshing? Does anyone feel that they need any kind of renewing, any kind of breakthrough, any kind of awareness, any sense of that? And to be able to go, wow, that was a word that was tailored for each of us right here, right now. What if that's true? If it is true, and the Lord's saying, you come to me, and that's what he does. So as we continue to move forward in stuff that we're looking at as a community and in our lives, to say, wow, word of refreshing. And then again, going back to the individual words that people received as an addition to that. But then, as I said, words that were spoken of encouragement to all of us and saying, that's pretty cool. At least I think it is. That apart from any other reason that you may have come today, that's part of what the Lord wanted to give to you. He wanted to come and give it to you. And it's up to us as to whether or not we take it in. It's up to us to whether or not we receive that and we accept that and we allow that to begin to grow. And to say, Lord, I'm not sure what that looks like, but I think refreshing might be a good place to be. So obviously, Jesus, in that particular passage in John, if you put it in the overall context of God's love, he's not scolding that audience. He's simply telling them, you know something, but it's not really helping you much because it's not bringing you to that next place. And that next place is to draw close and to see that it's he that's revealed in that word. And see, when Justin, unprepared, put him on the spot, stood up and said, it's not really fair, but this is what it was. Christianity, relationship versus religion. And it has to be a degree of relational. And you think, that's what Christianity is, right? I mean, Christianity is not about rules and regulations and dogmas and commandments. That has to do with performing. And I suppose someone could say, I suppose that has its place. But the moment that we start gravitating towards that venue, then we're practicing religion. We're not living the Christian life. Because the Christian life is relational. Jesus says, come to me. I'm not pointing the way to the truth. He says, I am the truth. For those of you who know anything about Buddhism, you know what Siddhartha Gautama, the enlightened one, says is, I'm going to point the way. I'm going to point the path you need to be walking down. I'm not the path, but I'm going to point to the path. That's where you need to walk. What Jesus says is, no, I'm not going to point where you need to walk. You need to realize I'm in you and you're in me, and I'm going to be the path that you're walking. You just need to more and more understand that that's what's going on. To reveal that more and more, Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm not pointing to the way. He says, I am the way. And he talks about life. And he says, I'm not going to show you how to get life. I am the life. I'm the life. So to start to take some of those passages and to say that the Lord would begin to unveil them, to take the scales off, that we would begin to see that everything that he's doing in his word is to draw us into a deeper sense of his presence, of relationship, what that means. And the Lord delights in us. It says in Zephaniah that he dances over us, that he rejoices over us. So the Lord wants to continue, I think, to be about refreshing his church, refreshing his people. He exhorts them, he edifies, he comforts them, that whole process of what he needs to do. Because I don't know if any of you have felt beat up this week. You know, you may have had a really good week, or you may have felt kind of beat up a little bit. So the SOP, standard operating procedures, is when you feel beat up, you know what to do, you work harder. I'm kidding. As Father Don told me, give up humor. It doesn't work, you know. You know, you work harder. It's like, no, I just somehow, I run to you, Lord, because I have felt beat up. And I come to you and you tell me that in you I will find rest. So that's where I want to keep running back to. I want to keep running back to your word. Because the Lord says, you know, you search the scriptures in which you think you have life, but you don't come to me. You don't come to me. Jesus says, come to me. And I'm the one who's going to refresh you through this word because I'm going to unveil it. I'm going to let you see maybe what you didn't see before because I know what your heart needs. And I know where you have felt maybe grieving or beaten up or questions or confused or anxious or worried or maybe just kind of like you're trying to figure out what's going on in your spiritual life if there's just not a lot of oomph. Whatever it is, to be able to say, the Lord's saying, I know that. I know that. Come to me. Does that make sense to you? I saw one person go, and I saw 15 people go. How'd I do? Just kidding. Okay.
Remember that he is Alpha and Omega.
Okay, good. Thank you, Martha. So, ever heard of lex orandi, lex credendi? If you've ever heard of that before, raise your hand. Ah! Lex orandi, the rule of prayer, or if you like, the word expressed. See, these are really big print, so I don't have to have my glasses. Lex credendi, the rule of faith, the word received. Thus, how you pray expresses what you believe. How you pray expresses what you believe. So if all of us were to take a step back and kind of go, how do I pray? How I pray expresses what I believe. And going back to that John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40, you search the scriptures. But in the very process of searching the scriptures, it's like he is crying out to our hearts, come to me. Remember when the disciples said, we've watched John the Baptist and we've watched his disciples do these certain things and it seems as though he's mentoring them, teaching them, and so they look at him and say, would you teach us how to pray? Would you teach us how to pray? Because I realize something, the disciples are saying through my paraphrase, is I grew up in the synagogue. I grew up learning the Torah. I grew up learning the prophets. I grew up learning the historical books. I grew up learning my faith. But all of a sudden, I'm watching you as you seem to commune with him. And I realize that my experience over here, talking about like in the synagogue, and watching the experience that you're having with him, they seem to be very different. Very, very different. And so what's been happening over here for me for most of my life is very different than what's happening for you. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at you, and I'm thinking, I think what you're doing is better than this. So I think I want to be over here. So I just realized something. I thought all this time I knew how to pray. I thought all this time I knew how to pray. And all of a sudden I thought, I don't know that I really know how to pray. You're going to have to teach me how to pray. You're going to have to teach me how to start to commune with the Father because I've never known him that way. Now, the presumption is that all of you know the Father that way. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, we could all say, but I'd like to know him more. I'd like to know him more. I'd like to know more about him and who he is and who I am, and for him to continue to take away that veil and for those scales to drop, that I would begin to know him more, that when I come to the word that's revealed, that it speaks to my heart, this infallible, inspired word, that it would begin to do this mighty work of revelation of who it is that you are. That sense of refreshing, that every time I hear your word, it's like it's new, there's a refreshing in it. Even if it challenges me, even if at times it confronts me, even if it may convict me from time to time, it's for the whole purpose of drawing me deeper, drawing a community deeper. So, last Sunday, we had that Jesus asking the disciples at Caesarea Philippi, and I'm sure that Gene has been there, and I don't know who else has been to Israel. I know that DJ has. I don't know anyone else who's been there. But Caesarea Philippi, which is at least the way that if you go on a pilgrimage, where they'll take you, is in the northern part of Israel. And they'll take you to where the Jordan is, and there's a place there where there's a few falls, like waterfalls. It's one of the most gorgeous places I've seen, and it's a place you don't really expect. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous place, Caesarea Philippi. Must be good down there. And at Caesarea Philippi, in this very peaceful, cool, wonderful place, Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they come up with this litany, and then he says, "And who do you say that I am?" Remember this whole, I mean, you're very familiar with it, right? And Peter stands up and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus really encourages him. And then Jesus, you just get this sense, he gets into this spontaneous thing of excitement, because he says, "Peter, I'm going to give you the keys." Remember the passage? Okay. And if you're not familiar, it mentions in Matthew 16, Jesus says, "I'm going to give you the keys." Keys. See, I'm really important because I have a lot of keys. Okay. And I've decided, I don't even know what all these keys go for, and I've thought about going down like to Lowe's or something like that and just get other keys that are not even, you know, they're not even cut, just so that I've got more keys. And so I've got this big keys, and go, "That person must be really important." You go, "Absolutely." I'm still not doing very well at this, am I? So what if we were to just speculate for a moment to do with this passage of the keys? And I know I'm just kind of weaving around and jumping around, and people might go, "Where is he going? Where is he going with this?" I have no idea. I'm still really bad at this, aren't I? So what if we were to look at that passage about the keys, and we were to say that passage has to do with how the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the disciples, that it all has to do with the foundation thing of the apostles, that's what those keys are, the keys were given. Would that be a misrendering of that scripture? No. But what also if that passage might be that as a believer in the Lord Jesus, that you, when you receive him into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are given a set of keys, and these keys are to the kingdom. Now you have access to the kingdom, and now you can come up to the door of the kingdom, and you can insert it in the lock and open it up and go, "Wow. Because of Jesus, I got keys, and I got keys into the kingdom, and so I have access into the kingdom. I can walk around the kingdom because he's given these keys. And there's various doors I can go and open up." Okay. Would that be a misreading of that passage? No, I don't think so. But it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus will say in this passage in Matthew 16. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What if another looking at this passage from another perspective might be able to say that Jesus was saying to Peter, Peter, do you realize what just happened? I just asked all of you, who do you say that I am? And like all of you, you were maybe looking at me, processing that, considering that, maybe even praying about it, and all of a sudden something happened to you. You got a download. You got a download. The Father just downloaded something into you. And all of a sudden the Father spoke to you, and you look at that and go, you're the Christ. And Jesus is saying, Peter, do you realize what just happened? You just took the first step. Maybe it was a baby step, but you just took the first step of learning how to access relationship with the Father in hearing Him, because that's what He wants to do. And all of a sudden, that was opened up, and you began to realize, ah, wow. Do you understand? To be able to all of a sudden say, that's what He wants to do. All of a sudden you're looking at the scriptures, or you're listening to a piece of music, or you're trying to process something, and wham, all of a sudden, I see it, I get it. And to realize, the Lord just downloaded something in you. Just gave you another key. And all of a sudden it's like, wow. And then you start to look at that and go, I really do want more keys. It's like, I want a key for every single scripture passage. I want a key for every scripture passage to know, Lord, would you give me the key for this next passage that I don't get? Would you give me a key for this next passage? When I'm reading, would you give me a key that I begin to realize I've got keys all over the place and I can pick up this key and go, wow, look at this. Now I got this other key. Look at this. What it is that you want to do, and it becomes this sense of refreshing and exciting about what it is that He wants to start to reveal to His people. So, in the gospel today, when Jesus, it says in verse 21, that was the first verse of the gospel today, from that time, I hope this doesn't sound like a contradiction to you, because I want you to see something. He says, from that time, Jesus began to show to His disciples what must happen. See, He's beginning to entrust into them, I'm promising I'm going to be with you all the time, but I'm also going to start to reveal what the Father is doing. I'm going to start to revealing a plan for you. And at that moment, Peter didn't really want to hear that, because he'd kind of taken a baby step. But the Lord really wanted to begin to reveal His plan. You know, when Jean was talking about that she's been praying and had this real sense of an unction to pray for our nation, and been spending a lot of time praying for the nation and just kind of seeing things that are out there that are hopeful and all that, and recognizing that things to a certain extent are transitory and all of that. What if the Father was kind of revealing part of His plan for her as to how to intercede about things and saying, this is what I'm doing? What if, when He got that word for me this morning that was really for all of us, the Father is saying, I want to reveal a little bit about what it is that I'm doing. I want to show you a little bit what it is that I'm doing. And what if, we start to all of a sudden more and more as a community and in our life, as we approach the Lord in prayer, we begin to say, Lord, when you begin to reveal and pull it away and say that we profess to know who you are and you want to deepen that, and now I'm going to begin to show you more. And I'm going to begin to show you more. And I'm going to begin to show you more. And some of it might be a little unnerving, but it's not to frighten you. It's not to frighten you. So we go back and we look at what happened to our beloved Walter and to our Riley, and we say, does that frighten us? Or do we begin to say, God is good all the time, God is good. Okay, Lord, what do you want to show? What are you doing? Where are you at? Where in the midst of this? How do we go forward? How do we continue to progress in that pilgrimage that you have for us? Or do I say, I want out of the game? I don't want to do this anymore. Or do I say, I don't understand all things, but Father, I need to understand more and more and more as you reveal stuff. Even if at times I fall into that same trap that Peter was, and it's like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Don't let that be. Don't let that be. Remember the yoke. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Remember what the yoke is. Jesus will say about the cross, you need to pick up your cross. And remember, I talked about what the heresy of the cross is. The heresy of the cross is for any Christian to be able to say, the difficulties that I have in my life, disease, accidents, bad relationships, poor financial issues, all of that, that is the cross that God has given to me. That has nothing to do with the cross. Nothing. That's a heresy. Okay? Has nothing to do with the cross. And I don't want to go into that right now because I've already dealt with that. So he'll tell us that we need to pick up our cross and recognizing what that is. And then he'll say, and then take my yoke upon your shoulder. Even looking at the pronouns that are going on there. Take my yoke, because in taking my yoke, that's the only way you're going to get revelation. We talked about that a few weeks ago. That in taking his yoke is where we begin to get revelation, because all of a sudden we are attached to him and he's attached to us, and he begins to give us more and more, more of that revelation. So in light of everything that I've been saying here this morning, what if all of a sudden I were to take a step back again, and in John chapter 5, verses 39 through 40, Jesus says, you know the scriptures, you search them, but don't you realize that they testify to who I am, but you're not willing to come to me. But once the Christian realized, but I'm yoked to him. I am yoked to him. And so if I'm yoked to him, then I'm coming to him and he's revealing that. And so that means I don't need to be afraid, even if he starts revealing some things that maybe I don't want to see right yet. But what he's saying is, it's time to see. And it's time to see what it is that I'm doing and where it is that I'm taking you. Because I desire to use you in furthering the kingdom in a world that's hurting, because that's the only way I'm choosing to do it, the Lord says, is to use us. Is to use us. And so, remember how many times early on when we first got here, I used that example of sitting in this chair and saying, I'm seated in Christ, my life is hidden in Christ. But if by chance I put God on trial, either because he is not doing what I think is fair in my life, or because I think he's doing something that is not fair in somebody else's life, then because I'm putting him on trial, I can therefore take up an offense. And because I can take up an offense, the fruit of taking up an offense is I begin to get up out of my chair and I start to move. He hasn't moved. I start to move. And in starting to move, I can begin to take up an offense. And that offense can be to take up this whole sense of just beginning to reject, which may lead to a sense of unbelief, or it could lead to condemnation and shame and all that stuff that ends up, I find myself outside the door. Because somewhere along the line, I forgot where I was yoked, I forgot where I was seated, and the Lord's wanting to continue to say, come to me and let me remove the veil. And remove the scale so that you can see I am with you. I'm for you. And I desire to refresh you at every single moment, regardless of any particular circumstances that any of you are going in through right now, either yourself or for family or whatever. I am with you. Always. And I will never, ever leave you orphaned. Isn't that what he said? I'll never leave you orphaned. And it's interesting, that was one of the words today. You're not alone. Isn't that interesting? That was one of the words today. You're not alone. You're not alone. Amen? Peace of the Lord be with you.
Barbara has a word. I feel strong like she's got a word.
Okay.
Something that happened yesterday.
Okay.